This is SEC Talk. What is going on, everybody? Hope everybody is doing good today. Checking in with you guys, coming in at it here, SEC Talk Live. Your host, Holden Nall. Again, hope everybody's doing good, whatever time you guys are checking this out. We've got plenty to get to tonight. Plenty to get to. A lot of games over the weekend. A lot of shakeup in the top 25. That dropped earlier today. So we're going to get that information and all that good stuff like that out to you guys. If you guys don't mind, get this pulled up on the screen for you guys on YouTube. At SEC Talk 20 on Twitter. Y'all go follow us there. If you're watching on YouTube or if you're interested in the YouTube, links will be in the description of the show. You guys go check out the YouTube page. If you don't mind, hit that subscribe button on there. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, give us that 5-star review. Would really enjoy that, really appreciate that. Other than that, we're going to jump pretty much straight into things. We're going to talk a little bit of news. I don't have much for you, mainly just the top 25 that I want to run through real quick. Once we run through it, we'll run through all of the game breakdowns. Plenty to get to. A lot of exciting things happening in the SEC over the weekend, and then some other things not so exciting. Go back through our picks from this last week as well. We're going to run back through the top five and look at the college football Final Four that we picked before this game as well. Obviously, our top five will change every week. I don't have Cody's with me today, so I'll probably save that maybe for Friday's show, prepping you up for next week. But I'm going to keep the college football playoff Final Four every week. We'll probably go through it just to see kind of where we stand, you know, in the preseason, what we ended up picking on that. Then going to go through all the polls that I put on Twitter for you guys, see what you guys voted, see how we turned out in all those votes. But first things first, let's jump straight into it. I'll put up on the screen again for you guys watching on YouTube. Boom, top 25 should be scrolling across the bottom of your screen now. And I'll run through it real quick. Because, like I said, there's just a lot of shakeup in that top 25. Again, you're going to see me, if you're watching on YouTube, you're going to see me kind of looking back and forth trying to get all the information here because there's only so much you can do. So anyways, here, top 25, AP poll, top 25, Alabama, Georgia, top two, 1 and 2. Nothing changing there, rightfully so. I think that's pretty much where it should be. Then we do have the changeup. This is where it starts. In that 3 spot, you got Oklahoma. 4 spot, Oregon jumping all the way up to 4 after taking Ohio State down. That was awesome. Iowa takes down Iowa State. They jump into that 5 spot. Clemson, they don't move. They stay right there in the 6 spot. Texas A&M falls a couple after a struggle win down to 7. Cincinnati at 8th. Ohio State falls down to 9. I'm surprised they stayed in the top 10. But, again, Oregon so far so good as far as this season goes. Then 10, we got Penn State. 11, you got Florida. Number 12, Notre Dame. Number 13, UCLA. 14, Iowa State. 15, Virginia Tech. 16, Coastal Carolina. 17, Ole Miss. 18, Wisconsin. 19, Arizona State. 20, Arkansas. Arkansas jumping up into that top 25 after a big win over Texas. Looking forward to getting to that one. 21, North Carolina. Auburn at 22. 23, BYU. 24, Miami. And Michigan also cracking the top 25. As well as BYU there in that 23 spot. So that's your top 25. Again, a lot of change up, a lot of mix up, a lot of matchup. I should have looked to see if there were some other teams that were receiving votes. Right now, Alabama, Georgia, Texas A&M. That's your 3 in the SEC that you got in the top 10. Florida looking right there on the outside. That's 4 teams in the top 11. Ole Miss at 17. Arkansas now at 20. Auburn at 22. We're loading it down with the SEC. And I'm fairly certain in a couple of weeks you're going to have another team in Kentucky probably crack that top 25 as well. So that'll be exciting. After Kentucky beat Missouri this weekend, they've got Southeast Missouri this coming week. And then, they got Chattanooga. Should take care of business. They're going to take care of business at South Carolina. Then they got Florida. I expect by the time they get to that Florida game, they may already be in the top 25. But I've already predicted it before this season. I think Kentucky takes Florida down and ends up in that 2 spot right behind Georgia in the SEC East this year. So we'll see what shakes out with it. Nonetheless, we'll jump pretty much straight into games. I've got to get everything pulled up here. My other screen is being extremely slow at the moment, so I can't have everything all loaded in one place. Be nice, wouldn't it? Have everything work and do just like it's supposed to be and right where it's supposed to be. So we'll get to that in just a second. In the meantime, scrolling through Twitter and looking at everything that's going on over there in the Twitterverse, what I like to call it. I tell you what, on Sundays, college football just takes off, or NFL just takes off, doesn't it? All the friends and our friends, I guess, all the followers on Twitter and people that we follow. That's all I see all day long on Sunday is that NFL football, which I mean is good. I'm not huge into the NFL. I used to be years ago, and back in the year that Atlanta actually played the Patriots and blew it. I think it was the same year Georgia blew it, and then the Braves fell too. And you know that was a tough year for Georgia, the state of Georgia in general when it comes to sports. So all right, let's start things off at the top of the page here with Alabama State at Auburn. Just like we thought pregame going into this one, Auburn should take care of business. They do. They win 62-0. Not a lot to talk about there. Strange thing is, Bo Nix only 108 yards, 2 touchdowns, but they ran the ball really, really well, really effectively. Going to the team stats here, because that's the main one that really matters. 538 total yards for Auburn. 174 through the air, but 364 on the ground. Exactly the way it should be. You should be able to put the ball, you know, put the rock on the ground, grind down. Again, I'm not going to go through too many stats on that just because it's Alabama State. Just like I'm not necessarily going to go through too much on UAB and Georgia because it's UAB. And not knocking these little teams, but that's the way it is. Let's get down to a little bit of a stunner. South Carolina, East Carolina. This one was much, much closer than anybody in the SEC would want a game to be for an SEC team. But it was. That's all there was to it. This is one, I think, pregame. I may have jinxed it. I don't really know. I did not see the start of this to see who started, but when I did turn it over to it, I saw that Zeb Nolan was quarterback. I thought Luke Doty was going to be quarterback in this. I think I blew that because pregame and leading up to that game, that was part of the news that I'd read was, hey, Luke Doty should be back. And he wasn't, as far as I know. Again, I didn't see the very beginning of that. I ain't got time to watch every single game and break everything down. I just flip around as much as I can and watch those games as they come out. But it took South Carolina rallying in the fourth quarter to come back and kick a field goal at the end of the game, 36-yard field goal to win it. Now, it was tied up, so it was either a win or go to overtime situation. It wasn't necessarily like a kick the field goal, make it, and you win the whole thing. Otherwise, you lose. So what? Some people will say it's a lot more dire than it was, but not necessarily. They could have went to overtime, but either way, never should have been that way. Starting the game, 75-yard trick play from East Carolina down the sideline to take the lead 7-0. 1 point in the second quarter with only a minute to go, East Carolina was up 14-0, absolutely putting it on them. Luckily, with a 63-yard pick six by Damani Stanley with a minute to go, made it 14-7, because that could have turned around to be 17-0, possibly even 21-0 going to the half. And then they come all the way back in the third quarter, tied up. Fourth quarter late, they tied up as well. And then again, field goal at the end of the game to win that one. Just again, Shane Beamer's got a lot of work to do there at South Carolina. I think he's doing it. Watching his post-game interview on the field there, you know, you could tell he was real emotional. And I think that's because he knows just what he's inherited. Not that it's a bad thing, and he's even said that. There's not another team in the country that he would rather coach than that team right there. And maybe so. Maybe that is the way he feels. Maybe it's not. I'm not 100%. But by the emotions that he does let out there on the field, hey, you got to believe the guy. And that's one good thing for South Carolina. They got somebody in there who should be, you know, interested and invested enough in this program to want to make them better, to do all he can to put the belief in him, in, you know, from him into his team, to be able to believe that you can do this. You know, you've faced a lot of adversity between the last couple of years with everybody. I mean, everybody has, with everything that's been going on. So, I mean, credit out to him, you know, coming here. And it's a game that they never should have lost. It's a game that they probably never should have trailed in, but they did. And that's because, again, South Carolina is way behind this year. Not behind, they're just down. They've got a lot of work to do to get back to a place where they can even consider fighting, you know, for the SEC East without it being just a fluke thing. They are 2-0, but I'm going to tell you what, they're about to match up at Georgia in Athens. and the line opened up on that. I'll put it to you this way. Georgia's line against UAB opened at 26.5. Might have been 28.5. But that line fell all the way down, I think, to like 26. May have even fallen more than that before the start of it. Georgia opened, their opening line against South Carolina, if I'm correct, was 32. I think now it's already down to 31, but a huge line over South Carolina coming into that one. So they got their hands full coming into this one. But, hey, again, a win's a win. They're 2-0 starting the season, squeaking by East Carolina 22-17. Getting to one of the games that I picked the upset in. We'll get to the picks at the end. And that was Pitt over Tennessee, and it happened, 41-34. I'm going to tell you what. I was seeing where a lot of people were saying the same thing, and I completely understand it. And that's Joe Milton. He's got to go. He should not be the quarterback there at Tennessee. Goes 7 for 12, 50 yards. Just didn't look all that impressive. Then he gets hurt, comes out, put in Hooker. What's his first name? Here, I can look it up real quick. Yeah, Hendon Hooker. He goes 15-21, 188 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 pick on the night. So, and both of the guys can run. Joe Milton, he actually led the category in rushing, which isn't all that great, 54 yards. Hendon Hooker right behind him with 49 yards. And then Jay Small for 18 yards. Running backs were not getting the ball moving very much at all. 136 yards on the ground, 238 through the air in the end between the combined. But then they also dropped the ball twice. Both quarterbacks dropped the ball and fumbled it. So, I mean, that's just something that you can't do. Turnovers make a huge difference when it comes to these games. And in the end, that's what it looked like, you know, gave Pitt that edge. Also, with them, Kenny Pickett going 285 yards for 2 touchdowns. That didn't help either because they lit it up through the air, 301. On the ground, they only put up 96 there for Pitt, but it was enough to be able to get it done through the air. They didn't turn the ball over any time, which was a good thing for them. Tennessee, kind of on that same, I guess it was really only one fumble that actually ended up being lost there for, it was an interception for Tennessee. So I had my information all wrong there. Sorry. Anyway, it's a game that I picked Pitt to win in just because I felt good about that. I still don't feel good about Tennessee. Joe Milton there at quarterback, he's still such a question for me. Hate that he went down with an injury. You know, prayers up to him and hope that he can recover from whatever it is that he suffered there. But it looks like Hendon Hooker maybe can turn around and be the guy. You know, maybe he gets more reps now with the ones and can help try to, I don't know, liven up that offense a little bit because right now it's not happening. It's not really happening there at Tennessee. So Knoxville in a little bit of a curious state here. Again, I hate to be so negative about it, but I kind of figured Tennessee wasn't going to be all that great this year. And so far, you know, rocky start on rocky top. 1-1 Tennessee moving on to week 3. And we get Florida, South Florida. Florida takes care of business, 42-20. That's still a question that I have. Two questions. Defensively, are we going to continue to give up these points to a team like South Florida and a team like who was it last week? I thought the two teams out of Florida to start the season. But are we going to continue to give up all these points to opponents? The other question that I have is who's going to be the quarterback? Talked a little bit about this, I think, last week. Was we got to make a decision. Is it going to be Anthony Richardson? Is it going to be Emory Jones? Emory Jones, 14-22, 151 yards through the air, 1 touchdown, throws 2 picks. Still making mistakes. Anthony Richard comes in, throws the ball 3 times, 2 of which were touchdowns, 152 yards in the end. They combined for 303 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 picks on the night. On the ground, Anthony Richardson yet again leads the category in rushing, 4 times, 115 yards, and a touchdown on the ground. Emory Jones right behind him with 81 yards and a touchdown. And then Damian Pierce, 55 yards and a touchdown as well. They end up 363 on the ground, 3 touchdowns throughout the game there. So this is the question that I have for Florida, and I'm sure many Florida fans, a lot of people around the country are really curious. What are you going to end up going with here, Dan Mullen? Is it going to end up being Emory Jones, or are you just going to go back and forth between him and Anthony Richardson? Every time Richardson's got in, he's looked really good. He's ran the ball effectively. He's thrown the ball effectively. Every time Emory Jones gets in, he has flashes of goodness, but then he makes a mistake. Has another flash of goodness, and he makes a mistake. Eventually, you've got to limit these mistakes. Otherwise, you know, then the inevitable is eventually going to happen. Two turnovers on the night for Florida, both of those being interceptions. One also for UCF. But nonetheless, number 13, Florida does move and improve to 2-0 on the night. UAB Georgia, question coming into this one. Who's going to be the quarterback? We knew JT was hurt. Weren't sure if he was going to end up starting or not. But most of the country, including myself, including 95% of Dog Nation over there in Georgia, figured it was going to be Carson Beck, and it wasn't. Ends up being Stetson Bennett. Stetson Bennett, let me tell you something, though. Starts the night like 6 for 6, 4 touchdowns, 286 yards, I think. Lit it on fire in the end of the night, 288 yards, 5 touchdowns in the game. In the game. Unbelievable. And I think most anybody who was there would tell you the same thing. It's unbelievable. Through the air, Georgia ends up going 376 yards, 163 on the ground. Georgia's defense this time held the passing game only 247. Again, it's only from UAB, but held them to that 47. Gave up 127 yards on the ground. The only touchdown on the game with this one was through defense. Carson Beck was in there. I believe it was like the third. It may have even been halfway through, if not closer to the end of the game in the fourth quarter. Throws a long pick six in this game. So far, Georgia's defense has scored 2 touchdowns, but has not allowed another offense. Only been 2 games, Clemson and UAB, but has not allowed an offensive touchdown so far. It's pretty impressive through 2 games. That, again, I do believe is eventually going to come to an end. But while it's not, hey, let Georgia ride high on that. They get the win 56-7. Huge win over UAB. Again, that line was very small coming into it. Not very small. 26, that's a pretty significant number. You're talking about almost 4 touchdowns. So I guess maybe it's not that small. But they handled business. Hey, if you took the over in this game, which was also low, and you took Georgia with that line there, you did really well on the weekend. Zamir White, again, not much was happening on the ground in this one. This is a question I have for Georgia is, I know that offensive line is beat up. Heck, your wide receivers are beat up, and the guys that you had in there yesterday, second and third string guys, lit the world on fire and put up a heap load of yards through the air. One thing we were curious about, too, can Georgia finally get some explosiveness on offense? Again, it's just UAB, so let's pump the brakes a little bit, but at the same time, let's also look and say, hey, if you're going to be explosive, you have to be explosive in these games that you should be. Just like Alabama Mercer, like we're going to get to in a minute. Alabama was also explosive in a game that they needed to be against Miami. Now, turns out Miami, not real good. Even though App State's pretty good and gave them a run, we'll get to that shortly. But Georgia's got to figure out offensive line, which I know they're beat up on. But the run game, something we've known for the past 5 years Georgia is really good at, and they're struggling right now. They struggled against Clemson. Even in a situation where Clemson backed up and took the air game away from Georgia, they were still able to run a little bit. Now, that's a pretty stout front four there for Clemson, so kind of understandable there. But even against UAB, the only difference in that game was UAB stacked the box. You know, they're putting 7 guys in instead of 7 guys back. And Georgia had a lot of trouble running the ball, had no trouble at all throwing the ball with Stetson Bennett at the helm. He ends up 10 for 12, 288, 5 touchdowns. Zamir White does end up top of your rushing category, 7 carries, 34 yards. Brock Bowers, back-to-back weeks being the top receiver, 3 touches, 107 yards, 2 touchdowns. Pretty good when you touch the ball 3 times and 2 times you're in the end zone. Had one massive blow-away run there, 89-yard touchdown on the third touchdown pass from Stetson Bennett. Jermaine Burton, the first play of the game, or second, I guess it was 2nd and 8, 73-yard touchdown pass off the start. Kenny Mack, the second touchdown of the night was a 12-yarder. Arian Smith, 61 yards. So, I mean, just huge games, huge pass plays that I think, if I remember correctly, Stetson Bennett actually set a record there at Georgia, or put himself in the history book, I say. Didn't set a record. I think he was like 9th or 10th on that list. But to throw for like 4 touchdowns in a half, and it did obviously a really good job in that. His last touchdown ends up coming. No, he did it all in the first half. That's pretty impressive. So anyways, that's Georgia, UAB. Jumping on down, Texas A&M and Colorado. This one's a little upsetting. I know most of you guys are probably thinking, yeah, that's pretty upsetting for sure. You know, you get a game like this where you got a top five team that should be pretty competitive against their opponent, especially one in, you know, Colorado. And it wasn't so. Both teams coming in 1-0. Texas A&M. I will say this. Haynes King went out pretty early in this game, so that is going to make a pretty big difference in what you got going. He only went 1-for-2, 8 yards on the night. And then, is it Zach Calzada? Calzada? I think his name's Zach. Make sure I got that right. I don't want to say it wrong. Yeah. Zach Calzada goes 18-for-38, 183 yards and a touchdown. They rushed the ball 97 yards. Again, 191 total through the air. One touchdown on the ground, one touchdown through the air. Now, wait a minute. Okay, sorry. I read that wrong. 29 yards. 29 carries, 97 total yards on the ground, 191 through the air. That was the only touchdown and then a field goal. And this game was it was much closer than it ever should have been, and it was late. It was late when it got to that point. Colorado was up 7-0 in the first quarter. Second quarter, A&M gets a field goal to make it 7-3. And with 2:41 left, Isaiah Spiller with an 18-yard touchdown pass ends up taking the lead by a field goal. A game that never should have been this close. The positive takeaway you can take away from this game is Texas A&M's defense looks really well. I don't think that Colorado's defense should play up to the caliber of a number five team at the time's offense, though, in any scenario. Some people were looking saying, oh, you know, y'all can't say much as far as Georgia goes because, you know, it was a low-scoring affair there in Georgia and Clemson at 10-3. And I said, that's completely different. You got, at the time, what, the number two, three team in the country playing number five or six team in the country? You're talking about two top juggernaut teams that should be playing for a playoff at the end of this season, that their defense has collided, for sure. That's the way it's supposed to be. Texas A&M and Colorado, not the way it's supposed to be. Even if your starting quarterback goes down against a Colorado, you should still be able to put up something beneficial to be able to stop a team like Colorado. And they did that well defensively, but offensively, you should still be able to score. You should still be able to move down the field and make things happen. There were a couple of mistakes in there. I know there was a fumble where the guy actually was in the end zone and fumbled it into the end zone, called a touchback. Some controversy on a couple of calls, but in the end, you still should have been much further ahead in this one. Makes me question a few things. You know, we've talked about it. I'll maybe talk about that in a little bit, but that was, I still expected Alabama, as great as they look, Ole Miss, as great as they look, and Texas A&M, before this game, to be fighting for the top of the SEC West. I have Texas A&M upsetting Alabama when Alabama has to travel to them in week. We got it just in a couple weeks. Yeah, October 9th. So, I don't know. At this point, I don't know. That defense can probably slow Alabama, but that offense, if it's like that, you can forget it. Because Alabama's defense is good, too. And if you can't do anything against Colorado, you're not going to do anything against an Ole Miss or an Alabama. So, just something to kind of keep an eye on there. Let's go ahead and move past that one. Not a lot happening there. Alabama-Mercer, 48-14. Alabama gets the job done. Giving up a couple touchdowns in this one. Bryce Young looked a little shaky there at the very beginning, but ends up turning it around, 19-for-27, 227 yards, 3 touchdowns. Brian Robinson continues to roll, 10 carries, 70 yards, and a touchdown. So, Alabama ended up in the end looking good, as usual. Slade Bolden, he actually had a touchdown pass in, or a reception in there for a touchdown. That was pretty cool. Jameis Williams, he gets himself another one. Jace McClellan. So, Alabama's wide receivers and even the tight end there are starting to fire off just like they normally do every year. Alabama big win, 48-14 at the house there. They get ready to take on Florida this upcoming week. I'm looking forward to that one. That one being down in the swamp. We'll preview it coming up on the Friday show, so you guys make sure you tune in to that one. I'm going to skip Texas-Arkansas right now and jump down to NC State-Mississippi State. Mississippi State was not favored coming into this game. I picked them because I figured they would take care of it, and they do. They end up winning 24-10, ends up being a really good game. Will Rogers, he came alive in this one, 33-for-49, 294 yards, 2 touchdowns on the night. Didn't run the ball well, so everything that they did do had to come through the air. And again, Will Rogers luckily comes through in that position, 294 through the air on the ground. Neither team did anything. So defensively, the run game was doing very well as far, again, defensively. Mississippi State held to 22 rushing yards in this game. But they also held NC State to 32. So pretty good, 303 yards through the air for NC State, 294 from Mississippi State again. Just a kind of a back and forth battle there for a little while. In the end, Mississippi State comes away with it. Turns out really good, and I think that ended up being, it was the kickoff return late in the fourth quarter. That made, a pretty good deal. There with a 20, it ended up being a 20-point comeback. Nah, I was reading the wrong thing. Sorry, I'm looking a week back. Anyways, but the game, the game did start off with a 100-yard kick return from Mississippi State. How about that? I didn't even realize that. Sorry, this is kind of the same time I'm going back and forth looking at a couple others. A 100-yard kickoff return to start the game. All right, let me get my stuff straight. I know. Unprofessional. So unprofessional. Looking right here, it shows it's the same guy, but it shows it twice for some reason in the first quarter. It's just one. 100-yard kickoff return to start the game. What a great way to start the game. And then, they move on and just take care of business. Never trailed in this game at 1.7-3 is as close as it got in the third quarter, or second quarter, 14-3. Mississippi State starts to take off, 21-3, then 24-3. Handled their business like they're supposed to. Glad to see it, especially considering coming into this game, they were not necessarily projected to be on top. Ole Miss, Austin Peay, Ole Miss again, taking care of business. We all expected it to. A couple of these games, like I said, they're just cupcakes. You should be able to wipe the floor with them, and the teams that were supposed to did, and the teams that didn't were getting to them. Ole Miss, 54-17, Matt Corral, 21-33, 281 yards, 5 touchdowns on the night. Again, lights the world on fire, just like you're supposed to. I mean, just blew them out. Blew them out. Good game by Ole Miss. I don't have much to say about it again because Austin Peay's just not that big of a team. Sorry for not diving too deep into it. LSU takes down old Coach O.
Go Tigers.
Takes down his son Cody at McNeese, 34-7. Max Johnson, 161 yards, 3 touchdowns through the air. So he looked a little bit better this week. Still not a lot of yards, but did get those touchdowns in it. Let's see. We'll jump down to Vandy, Colorado State. Hey, I didn't pick Vandy to win this one. I was shocked that they did. And it took the last second, again, field goal at the end of the game to, not last second, I guess there were 19 seconds left, kicks the field goal to end up winning it. Similar to the South Carolina game, it wasn't for, if they missed it, it wasn't for a loss, but making it obviously gives them the win. They win 24-21. It wasn't pretty in any way. Ken Seals, 27-42, 238 yards, 2 touchdowns. He looked pretty good. He's about the only thing that is good at Vandy. And evidently their field goal kicker as well. Shocking there. Vandy does get the win. I didn't expect it, especially after the way they played last week. But, hey, proud of them as far as the SEC goes to get a win because might be the only one. After Stanford took down USC last night, and that's who they got to face next week. I don't know if they're going to get another win. Oh, nope. The fun one's actually going to come against UConn on October 2nd. Hey, they may get their second win right there, so we'll look forward to that one. The team that I think is going to end up being second in the SEC East right behind Georgia is Kentucky, and that's because of this right here. They get the win. I even thought this beforehand. I thought Kentucky would take care of Missouri. They do. Back-and-forth battle. Really good game. First SEC matchup of the week or of the season. Kentucky comes out on top by a touchdown, 35-28. Will Levis for Kentucky, 10 for 18, 179 yards and a touchdown. Also throws a pick. On the other side, Connor Bazelak, he looked really good as well. 294 yards, 4 touchdowns, but also throws a pick. Chris Rodriguez was the biggest difference in this game to me as far as Kentucky goes. 27 carries, 206 yards, 3 touchdowns. Tyler Batty on the other side from Mizzou, 14 carries, 61 yards, no touchdowns. Wandale Robinson, great player there for Kentucky. Watch out for Kentucky through this season now. They're really good. They may compete for Georgia with Georgia at the top of the SEC East. Got a lot of work to do to be able to do that, but they've got the weapons there to be able to do it as well. Again, a back-and-forth battle. Both teams, it's kind of funny to look at the box score of this one. Missouri scored a touchdown every quarter. Kentucky scored a touchdown every quarter, but they also scored 2 touchdowns in the first quarter. Ends up being the difference in the game. At one point, 14-0. Next thing you know, it's 21-7. Kentucky's up. And then you look back and it's 21-13. Missouri, trying to come back in it. Close as it got there, it got tied up in the pretty much at the start of the fourth quarter. And then Chris Rod with an 8-yard touchdown run with about 11 and a half minutes to go. Seals the deal there for Kentucky to make it 35-28. Again, just a great game. Looking forward to it. That was Chris Rod's career high in 206 yards with 3 touchdowns on the night. So looked really good there. The game that I skipped past that I wanted to jump back to, yes. Number 15, Texas and Arkansas. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Arkansas gets the win over Texas. I was calling this one. I was looking forward to it. Number 15, Texas gets upset, if you want to call it that. 40-21. Hello, welcome to the SEC, Texas by Arkansas. Man, was it good to see Arkansas starting the season 2-0 in the top 25. In the top 25. Go back a couple of years ago, Arkansas couldn't win a game in the SEC. And they're in the top 25 just a couple of years later. Great to see. Great to see the win over Texas. I know Texas is coming to the SEC, but I already said this. Before they get there, hey, let's give them a little piece of humble pie and let them understand what they're getting into. Boom, it happened. It happened. They got it right in their face. KJ Jefferson, 14 for 19, 138 yards with a pick. Not all that great as far as that side goes, but, I mean, the whole game. Look at this. First half. We're going into the half 16-0. Bijan Robinson comes out for Texas in the third quarter, starting things off, and scores a touchdown, makes it a little tighter, but bye-bye. There goes Raheem Sanders. They're late in the third quarter for a 26-yard touchdown run to make it 33-7. They just started wearing on them. Texas in the fourth quarter tried to make a comeback of it, scoring a couple touchdowns, but in the end, too much for Texas to be able to come back in this one against Arkansas. Proud to see it, glad to see it, picked to see it, and I mean, what else can you say? 471 total yards for Arkansas, only 256 for Texas. Texas was held to 118 yards through the air, 138 yards on the ground, 138 yards also through the air for Arkansas, but they ran the ball down their throat, 333 total yards. I want to see, I know it was kind of back and forth. I'll get the box score pulled up because I wanted to see. They had like 5 guys, yeah, running the ball. Yep, wrong team. KJ Jefferson, he ran for 73 yards in this one. AJ Green, that's crazy just being a Georgia fan, having another guy, AJ Green, 67 yards and a touchdown. I mean, they just lit the world on fire. It was awesome to see. Glad to see it for Arkansas. Glad to see them get in a game like this as big as it was and be able to take it down. So the SEC. Georgia wins, Auburn wins, South Carolina wins, Florida wins, Texas A&M wins, Alabama wins, Arkansas wins, Mississippi State wins, Ole Miss wins, Kentucky, LSU, and Vandy. The only team in the SEC who couldn't pull it off this weekend was the Big Orange there in Tennessee, and they fall to Pitt. Fall to Pitt. Hated to see it for them, even though I called it, you know. It is what it is, I guess. I shouldn't harp on it too much. All right. You guys on YouTube, y'all stick around. Podcast. We're going to take a quick break. Once we come back, we'll go back through the Picks Central and do it to it from there. Coming right back into it with Picks Central here. Cody, 10-3. I had to go back and look it back at my sheet here. When I put it on here, I write 10-3. But looking on my sheet, I've got him 11-3 from last week. I ended up going 14-3 last week when I look at the same sheet, but I wrote me down for 12-3. I don't know. I'll have to go back and look at it. I'm going to go off of the sheet here that we ended up picking and doing them. Cody, his was simple. He goes 10-3. Let me redo that. Let me just redo it the way that I said it, essentially. Turn this volume down just a tad on this. All right. So, Cody picks all SEC again this week. Last week he did the same thing. I guess that's a pretty safe bet, actually. Now that I kind of think about it, not a bad idea to pick all the SEC when they're doing as well as they are. But we did get into SEC play, so the only difference in that is he took Kentucky over Missouri. How does he end up on the night? 13-1, picking all the SEC. Kentucky does beat Missouri, but that one loss coming was Tennessee falling to Pitt. Had to find it on here. I did mine a little bit differently. I took Auburn, they won. I took South Carolina, woo, squeaked it out and won. I took Florida, Georgia, A&M, and Alabama, Ole Miss, and LSU, just outright winning. Got all those wins. I took Pitt, -3. They got the win by more than three. I'll take that win there. I took Arkansas, +7 that they were given, and the win. Boom, give me two strikes there. I took Mississippi State, +1, and the win. Boom, give me two strikes there. I took Kentucky, -5. Boom, they get the win there. My two losses come right here. Colorado State, I took that number, -7, and for Colorado State to win. Wouldn't you know it, Vandy showed up and got it done. Gives me two losses there at the bottom of that. So, Cody, 13-1 on the week. I ended up going 15-2 overall based on this sheet. I'll have to go back and look at everything because something ain't right based on what I put there and what I've got here. But should have Cody at 24-4 so far on the season. I will be 29-5 as we get things going. So, kind of exciting there, I guess, as far as the picks go, looking at some of that. It can be or maybe not. We'll see if it's worth maybe betting on as time rolls on. But let's look at some games around the league because we did have a few other big ones in there. Again, there's a reason there was some shakeup in the top 25. Friday, Coastal Carolina and Kansas played. Coastal, they took care of business pretty well there against Kansas. Now, let's jump into the big ones. First one, number 12, Oregon versus number 3, Ohio State. I put it on Twitter, a couple other places. How many of you guys want to see Oregon beat Ohio State? The people who came out and commented on there, liked it, shared it, anything like that, was unbelievable. How many people are just tired of seeing Ohio State at the top being overrated, sitting in that spot? And I will say this, now scrolling across the bottom of your screen there on YouTube, I'm glad to see them fall all the way to down to 9 because I was afraid that the AP poll voters are going to look at this and go, well, you know, it's Ohio State. Oregon is a top 15 team. Maybe Ohio State should only, maybe they should only drop a spot. You know, I'm glad they put them at least down to that 9 spot after losing in this because they didn't look all that great last week either. Again, I think Minnesota's pretty good. They're not in the top 25, so they don't get that credit right now. Maybe they show up eventually and it turns out to be a pretty good win for Ohio State. I don't know, but it's a really good win for Oregon. It's also a reason that they put Oregon in the 4th slot in the AP poll, so they believe a lot in them. So, glad to see that. I'm not really even going to dive into stats on it. The only kind of crazy thing is C.J. Stroud for Ohio State, 484 yards, 3 touchdowns. You throw for almost 500 yards and you lose the game. But Oregon, they never back down. That was one thing that was awesome watching this game was Oregon, when they got the lead, they kept the lead. They continued to fight. If it got tied up, they continued to fight and take the lead back, which was awesome to see. Again, Oregon taking down number 3, Ohio State. Love to see it. Clemson, I'm just going to say something about them just because they did actually come alive offensively, and I said that I hope that they score 140 points for the rest of the season. In every game, they scored 49. They won 49-3 against South Carolina State. It's South Carolina State. I get it. It's nobody, but they did take care of business there. Notre Dame, Toledo. Notre Dame, another one that's overrated. Where did they end up ranking them at? Let me look back at it because that kind of matters to me. Because I know they dropped them, but I want to know just how far they fell, and deservedly so. They shouldn't be in that top 10. And they're not. They put them down to 12. They fall 4 spots down to the 12 spot, rightfully so. Struggled last, and a lot of this is because of this. Struggled last week against FSU, which I gave praise to FSU. It seemed like FSU was going to be pretty good this year. And then FSU falls last night to Jacksonville State in a last-second touchdown. Made Notre Dame look even worse, especially after Notre Dame struggled with Toledo. To only beat Toledo by a field goal was not good. 32-29, Notre Dame overrated this season. Jack Cohn, I think, is the real deal. That defense is not. I don't know what's happened to Notre Dame's defense, but it is nowhere to be found, especially in a game like this against Toledo. Should have never been tight, but it was. 32-29, they win, but it wasn't very pretty. Top 10 matchup, number 10, Iowa, and number 9, Iowa State, battling it off. Iowa looked really good in this. They took some balls away, and Brock Purdy did not. 3 interceptions on the night. You can't do that. Iowa ends up taking away with it by 10, 27-17. Big one next week for Auburn, traveling to Penn State. Penn State wins against Ball State, 44-13. Another pick-me-up game, but nonetheless, Penn State undefeated so far starting the season. Also ranked up in that top 10 now after being 11 last week. So big game there coming up. The upset, one of the upsets of the weekend, unranked Stanford, 42 over 14th ranked at the time, USC 28. Stanford winning 42-28. and I just said it a minute ago. Yeah, Vanderbilt, they've got that game coming up this week, so that's not real good looking for them. Already talked about Texas and Arkansas. BYU Utah. BYU beats Utah for the first time since 2009. Beat them 26-17. That matters because BYU was not ranked before this. They are now. But BYU took down 21st ranked Utah at the time, 26-17. Miami, struggle win. 22nd ranked Miami fall or wins 25-23 over App State. I think this may have been another one that I called beforehand where I said, watch out because App State can beat you. And they almost did. Almost did in this one. Arizona State, they won it, but it wasn't very convincing. 37-10 over UNLV. Some people would say, hey, it's 27 points. It's almost four touchdowns. Let's wrap it up with that because that's the biggest games as far as top 25. We don't have to dive too deep into a lot of stats as far as those go. All right, top five. This is what we put out last week. I put it as Bama 1, Georgia 2, Ohio State 3, Clemson 4, Texas A&M 5, Oklahoma 6. That has obviously since changed. Now the top 25 came out. I changed my top 10 up to Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Oklahoma 3, Clemson 4, Iowa 5, Oregon 6, Cincinnati 7, Texas A&M 8, Penn State 9, and Ohio State 10. Obviously, top 25 has already dropped, so it's pretty close to it. Didn't get Cody's. I'll have to ask him for his and maybe give it to you guys on Friday's show. But his top five coming into this week was Bama, Georgia, Oklahoma, Ohio State, Clemson, and Texas A&M. I will say this, Oklahoma did get an extremely easy win to kind of pick themselves back up from last week. So whatever you want to feel on that. College football Final Four between mine and Cody's. A couple of these aren't looking really good right now. On Cody's, he's got Bama 1, promising. Clemson 2, could still happen. Oklahoma 3, still in the possibility. Notre Dame 4, don't know about that one. Not too sure about that one. But flip side on mine, Georgia 1, it's a possibility. Oklahoma 2, maybe. Clemson 3, all right. Only difference in that so far is Georgia and Bama on ours. Then I've got Bama or Texas A&M in the 4 spot. Still very possible. We're going to see. We got a long way to go before we get to the end of the season on some of that stuff. Let me jump over to Twitter. Let me go to all of the polls that I put up to see who you guys felt like would or would not win the game. Starting to get a little bit of content rolling there on Twitter. Again, you guys follow us on Twitter at SEC Talk 20. Follow us wherever you guys listen on podcasts as well. We're pretty much anywhere where you can be. All right, I put them all up, all of the games. Kentucky, Missouri, 100% of you guys out of all the votes went with Kentucky. You got that one. 100% with South Carolina. Y'all got that one. A good number of you guys voted on that. Pitt, Tennessee. Pitt was the actual leader in this one, 267% to 33%. So you guys got that one right. And I love this one right here. Who you got, Texas or Arkansas? A lot of votes in that one, and 67% also went the Arkansas route with that. Y'all got it right there. So far, you're right on the money. Here's where we started to miss. NC State, Mississippi State, 67% NC State, 33% Mississippi State. Fell on that one. Vandy and Colorado State, I think we all fell on this one. 80% Colorado State, 20% Vandy. Vandy pulls it out in a stunner, I guess you'd say. Not really, but great games overall. We got some good ones coming up this week. Previewing what we're going to look at on Friday. Some of the big games around the country coming up, especially in the SEC. Alabama traveling to Florida. Top 25 matchup. First test on the road, no less, for Alabama starting this season. Miami should have technically been that first test, but I think this one's going to be your true first test for a team out of Florida coming there on September 18th, this upcoming weekend. Auburn traveling to Penn State. More than likely it's going to be a night game. More than likely it's going to be a whiteout at Penn State. Another top 25 matchup. Just in the SEC alone, we got two top 25 matchups right there. Really looking forward to that one. Some fun ones there. Hey, Ole Miss, Tulane. Tulane looked good up against Oklahoma the other day. Maybe Tulane can come into this one and make some noise against Arkansas. Doubt it, but we'll see. Mississippi State at Memphis. Shouldn't be a big game. Very well may turn into one, though. And then you got Vandy and Stanford. Stanford, more likely, unfortunately, is going to roll against Vandy. But we also all thought that Colorado State would, you know, pick it up and win that one too. But hey, that's all I got for you guys. A little bit shorter than normal. Not necessarily the shortest of them all, but I'm going to jump out of here. I appreciate you guys listening. Again, if you guys do not mind, listen on Apple Podcasts. Make sure you guys give us a 5-star review on YouTube. You guys hit that subscribe button. Really appreciate that. Hit the like button on the videos as well. Check out the show wherever you guys listen. It's pretty much available anywhere. Again, appreciate you guys listening. And have a good one. We'll check in with you guys on Friday.